This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134, and this is Psalm 121. The Lord is your keeper. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you, our keeper, our protector. Teach us, O Lord, to be able to trust in your care and your provision for us. Help us to understand it and rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pilgrim bands from all over Israel and beyond are headed up to Jerusalem for Passover, or perhaps the Feast of Booths, singing as they go. One of these songs of ascent deals with the dangers that travelers experience and is sometimes called the Traveler's Psalm. It might be classified as a psalm of confidence, of trust in the Lord. I'm reading Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. A song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The song begins with a look to the hills. It is apropos, since pilgrims to Jerusalem are traversing the mountain chain that runs north and south through Judah. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Why does the psalmist look to the hills, to the mountains, we wonder? A couple of interpretations make sense. One, place of worship. In Old Testament times, mountains were often places of worship for the Canaanites, the high places. From whom does my help come? Asked the psalmist. From Mount Zion, of course, Jerusalem, the place where Yahweh is enthroned. Two, a place of danger. For a traveler, the hills can be a place where bandits hide and then swoop down suddenly upon a band of pilgrims to rob and perhaps kill them. Canyons through the hills can be places of ambush, as they were for the merchant on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho in the story of the Good Samaritan. The second context makes the most sense to me, but either scenario is possible, and it doesn't matter much to the point of the psalm. The focus is on the one who is Israel's keeper, Israel's helper, Israel's protector. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Help occurs in both verses 1 and 2. The word often refers to military help or assistance. Here, Yahweh is my help, a common name or title of God. We see my help in Psalms 22 and 40, helper of the fatherless in Psalm 10, my helper in Hebrews, Psalms 118, 30, and Hosea 13:9. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Canaanites believe in Baal, the god of fertility. Babylonians and Assyrians worship Ishtar, the goddess of love and war. But Yahweh's power is absolute. He alone creates heaven and earth. He is Lord. Both the Apostles and Nicene creeds begin by affirming, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker or creator of heaven and earth. His power is all-encompassing. Yahweh is my help, the one who provides assistance as needed. He is also my keeper. The verb keep, or watch over, is shamar, keep, guard, with the basic idea of to exercise great care over. He won't allow us to be tripped up by an enemy who sneaks up on us. Verses 3 and 4, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He never gets distracted or drifts off. He is always watchful, like a soldier who never sleeps while on guard duty. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Heat stroke from the blazing sun was always a danger in the Near East. There was the thought of mental disorders from being moonstruck. Yahweh is your shade and keeper who will protect you. Our psalm contains three merisms, that is, word pairs that summarize the total by naming opposite boundaries. Heaven, earth, verse 2, sun, moon, verse 6, going out and coming in, verse 7. Since Yahweh is Lord over the extremes, he can protect you from anything in between. He also guards us from the evil one. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. How can this be, we wonder? Surely, godly believers have died in dangerous situations. Does God really protect us? This very question, of course, probably results from sad negative experiences mixed with unbelief. The promises in these protection psalms are for people who will actually put their trust in God and in His Word. The promises are activated by faith. Let me remind you of two passages from Hebrews. First, Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And then Hebrews 11:32-34. I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. The Bible is full of people who, by faith, experienced God's supernatural protection. Today's world as well is full of believers who have seen the fulfillment of these promises firsthand. God is not impotent, but our unbelief can make us impotent, preventing us from seeing these things. But consider, Christians don't seem to be immune from death and accidents, war, persecution, etc. How do we understand this in the light of this psalm? Did all those who succumbed to enemies just lack enough faith? Some did, of course, but surely not all. Two passages of Scripture shed some light on this. The first is from the Apostle Paul, Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who were called according to His purpose. But this truth does not exclude what we read a few verses later. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? That's verse 35. We may suffer persecution, even death. But, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The second passage is Jesus' teaching about the end times, Luke 21:16-18. Jesus says, you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. People without faith look only at what happens in this life, and God is quite able to protect us in this life. But people of faith look beyond this life to the next. In the ultimate sense, and that is what is important to us Christians, our enemies cannot harm even one hair on our head. They can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. And God will have the very last word on Judgment Day. In Revelation, the martyrs in heaven cry out, how long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? The answer is not quite yet, but soon. When Jesus comes in His kingdom, there will be singing and shouting and the fulfillment of all the promises of the Bible on that day. Come, Lord Jesus. So if you are in danger, by all means come to Psalm 121 or Psalm 91 for strength and encouragement. You may be one of those saints who, through faith, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Just realize that the final chapter of your life and mine is not written in the here and now, but on that day it will all be revealed in victory and glory. God has us all in his hands. Well, back to a traveler's protection on the dangers of the road, Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Jude picks up this refrain as he closes his letter, now and forevermore, amen. The going out and coming in reminds me of ancient Celtic Christian prayers, many of which call upon God to be with them in every time and every place and every circumstance. Here's one that expresses that all-encompassing trust in God's protection. God with me lying down, God with me rising up, God with me in each ray of light, nor I a ray of joy without him, nor one ray without him. Christ with me sleeping, Christ with me waking, Christ with me watching, every day and night, every day and night. God with me protecting, the Lord with me directing, the Spirit with me strengthening, forever and forevermore, ever and evermore. Amen. Chief of Chiefs, amen. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of all the dangers we may sense around us, from men, from circumstances, from disease, in them all, Lord, we choose to put our trust in you. You are our help, our keeper, our shade. Shelter us from all that comes against us and bring us safe to our eternal home, according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our day two meditation on Psalm 121. In what ways is God your help? How does he help you? In what ways is he your keeper? How do you perceive that he guards and protects you? How is he your shade? How do you see that he shields you? And God bless you as you study. Amen.